And welcome back. Here we are on a Friday. We made it through another week. It's no joke. Each week could be, well, I won't say the last, but it, certainly a lot of people might wish it would be the last. These are not good times. As I've been saying for a long time, many, many Americans, millions, maybe tens and tens of millions of Americans, are making ends meet with their credit cards. Well, of those people who are using credit cards to stay alive, 20% now, approximately, have run out of usage. Their cards are maxed. They can't get any more money. So how are they going to pay their rent? How are they going to buy food, which is ridiculously expensive on its face? What are they going to do? I've been saying this for a long time. 20% now are maxed out in terms of their credit cards. So we will have to see. This is not a good time. It's getting to be exactly what they planned for, and that's the truth. Are you there, young lady?
I am.
What have you been doing?
Listening intently.
Mm-hmm. Intently.
I'm just, you know, trying to stay au courant.
Isn't that a kind of a muffin? A courant?
Can be.
That was a joke. Some of you got the joke, I'm sure. Au courant. Anyhow, all right. A few headlines for fun. COVID vaccines have the highest kill rate in medical history. I think most of you know that. This is world genocide. The CDC has launched what they call a national dashboard to track bird flu cases in your area. That's not in people, not yet, but that's what they're setting it up for, if they choose to go that way. They're looking at cows and other animals that may end up with H5N1. We'll see. Thousands of children prescribed ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine for COVID. That's nice. Now, I didn't really fully understand this. 90% of the population suddenly has a mysterious new heart syndrome. That sounds like spike organ damage. Did you get into that at all?
I did see the headline. They didn't really offer much in the way of details. Well, what exactly is it?
Yeah, it has to do with heart problems overlapping and perhaps exacerbated by type 2 diabetes, perhaps exacerbated by one other thing. So, and there's I've got a story up in headlines. You'll see it. Okay. So what else is going on?
Anything? Oh, I don't know. One of the headlines is that a lawsuit now has been filed against AstraZeneca here in the States by one of the trial participants who was injured here, Breon Dressen.
Right.
So we'll see. You know, she's been vax-injured. And has, you know, just a multitude of problems like so many others. And she was not taken care of as they promised during the trial. You know, like so many other trial participants, they were just either ignored or gaslit or just dismissed. Probably the most egregious one was that Maddie DeGray, the young, I think she was 12 years old at the time. And
I think so, yeah.
You know, ended up in a wheelchair with a feeding tube, and Pfizer wouldn't acknowledge it. You know, and the family's stuck with all the medical bills. And so there's many people like that, but I suppose, you know, this will set the stage for more lawsuits. The problem is the length of time it takes to litigate these types of cases. And you're going up against a situation where the vaccine manufacturers were granted indemnity.
Okay. All right. Let's see. I've got another couple stories here. Where did they go? Where did they go? There they are. Microplastics. Now, we know this microplastics thing really hasn't gotten the attention it deserves. Microplastics are popping up in everything. Now they're finding microplastics in most human blood samples. Think about that one. This is out of Thailand Medical News. That means
that doesn't surprise me.
Plastic containers. It's
getting in the food. We've known about that for 10 years anyway.
Well,
that's not new.
It's
more distraction, I think.
But certainly in the basket. What could have spiked colorectal cancer in young people beginning in 2021? Somebody actually asks this with a straight face. I mean, it's a joke. That shows you again how uninformed many, many people are. And that's very sad. Young women are now beginning to show up with heart attacks. Women in their 20s, 30s, 2 to 3 years after their bioweapon injection. It's not slowing down. It's going faster and faster. So we've got that. One more story that's up there right now. Renowned oncologist dropped a bombshell and said flatly that ivermectin does cure cancer. This comes from an oncologist. We know that ivermectin and tenbendazole, probably the best 1-2 punch right now that the average person can follow if he or she finds him or herself stricken. I certainly would. We don't tell people what to do here, but Iver and Fen together, along with Carnivora and Fluorescence, otherwise known as ESSIAC-T, E-S-S-I-A-C, E-S-S-I-A-C, Fluorescence. That's another one. So those four things would be my choice if I came down with something like that, God forbid. But those are, they are producing some pretty remarkable testimonials. That's good to see in these dark times.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, we have a video of a stroke victim. This is interesting. Now, this is kind of in the basket of modern Western medicine and how they can mistreat, if not outright kill, people. This is a very interesting story. This guy, stroke victim, terrorized with COVID treatment. Now, this is going to be a fun ride. Let's take this together. All right, here we go. Loading.
Okay, so Dale, thank you for being here. Let's go back and talk about the timeline of what happened. So talk us through how you even ended up in hospital.
Like I said, the workforce was destroyed and I couldn't get workers and my business went up to over $2 million and I ended up trying to do it myself, but I created so much stress that I had what ended up being a stroke. I didn't know that at first because it was just, everything was normal. I walked up and I couldn't stand up any longer. I fixed dinner for another person and it was just, it was like somebody turned the switch off. I had no balance, no anything. And so I started having those symptoms. And then I went into a fast mode and stayed in bed for 4 days, probably at least five days. Towards the end of that, I called an acupuncturist in just to get me some fluids and different things like that. And my older brother finally said, look, I think you had a stroke. I need to go get it checked out. So I checked myself into, found a friend to take me to the emergency room. And after sitting there half the day, the doctor was really good in the emergency part of the hospital. And they did the MRI and all that stuff, and I had a major stroke. So it knocked out my thinking side and the balance side completely. I didn't have any balance. I couldn't walk or any of that kind of stuff. And so once he put me through the MRI, he came back later that afternoon and said, look, you had a stroke and I got to check you into the hospital. And I didn't have anybody at home to take care of it. So I agreed with him. And as soon as that happened, somebody came in out of the office, a younger girl, and claimed that I had COVID without giving me any tests or any of that aspect of it. And then they rushed me off in a gurney, trying to protect everything, and put me in the backside of the hospital in a private sectioned-off room.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Right? Infection, by pronouncement. You have COVID. Why? Because I said so. It's that crazy. Now, strokes, interesting. It depends what part of the brain is impacted. I have a friend, actually he's been on the program before a while back, but he had a stroke. He was writing a book, volume 4 in a series, and he had finished the book, just about finished it, just made, he needed to name the chapter titles and things. His brain is perfectly normal. He goes to the gym, he works out, he has lost all memory of the book and what he put in it. It's gone. Nothing. So we're getting the manuscript and trying to finish it off. But strokes can be merciless, or they can be just completely crazy like this. He doesn't remember anything about the content of the book he just wrote. Everything else is there. Jeez. So anyway, it's the strokes are strange. All right, here we go.
And I went, you know, I was very upset because that's not why I was there. And I was just under that understanding that, yeah, I had a major stroke and they're coming at me in all directions. And I just, you know, I stopped all of that. And then the main doctor from the hospital, total different personality, was yelling at me and screaming that I would die if I didn't follow his protocols and stuff. And so I made it very clear, if they tried to touch me with anything on a COVID protocol, that I would, you know, I would revolt. I don't know what the word I'd use for that would be, because it was intense.
Dear friends, how many times have we asked and implored that you sit down with your family or your friends and decide that if you or your friends get stricken with anything, that you will advocate for them or they will advocate for you? This man saved his own life. He had to do what he did. And if a doctor raises his or her voice at a patient, that doctor should have that license suspended at the very least immediately. You don't do that to people. That is sickening.
Yeah.
Found out I had a stroke, and they were coming at me with all of this different stuff. And so part of that was a stroke protocol. They wanted me on not resmetirfen, but the other stuff, the warfarin.
He meant remdesivir, I believe.
The high blood pressure, all of those, and all of this stuff. And I told him I was chemically sensitive, and that I could not do that. And I would finally, after him screaming at me, I said, all right, I'll do a quarter of that dosage.
Erica, if you're in a hospital and a doctor raises his or her voice at you, I don't know, I can't speak for anyone else, but I would not tolerate that, not for a second, unless I was unconscious. It's unspeakable.
Well, you know, it's intimidation and, you know, as the title suggests, terrorizing.
Yeah, so they can give you a fatal injection.
And I don't know what they actually did, because within hours I started reacting to the...
Yeah, key statement. I don't know what they actually did to me. He doesn't know. And he was raising hell. He still doesn't know, apparently. And they are not above omitting, leaving things off of your chart. If they want to jab you with Pfizer, they won't put it on your chart.
Yeah.
It's one person. Look, for you good doctors and professional healthcare people out there, you know all this. You know what's going on. No surprise.
Like a allergic reaction. And so I stopped all that. Even they had a Jamaican nurse came in and she said, what you taking?
I'm sorry. This is DEI. This is outrageous. We've talked about this in past programs. Haitian nurses. Last time Nurse Anne was on, I think she did talk about the Haitian nurses they were bringing in. And these women could not read a simple EKG printout. They were that incompetent. and they were calling them full-on RNs. So, as I say, and unless you can advocate for yourself or somebody can come in there and stand with you and know basics, you don't have much of a chance when you go into these places. It's a total roll of the dice.
Did you not know? You didn't look at the charts or anything, and she had no clue. She wanted me to tell her what I'm supposed to be taking, and so I just kicked her out of the room. And then the doctor came back in, and I shared with them.
Can you believe this?
No.
I don't believe what I'm hearing.
It's a nightmare.
Tell me what I'm supposed to give you. Well, how about some cocaine? Bring me something fun. Okay, I'll be right back. God.
There would be no resmetirizine or any other protocols because I still, you know, I was trying to establish I did not have any kind of COVID. And they proceeded to go through the next 4, 5, 6 hours with hundreds and hundreds of dollars of tests, thousands of them, you know, dollars worth of testing. And so they ended up, I never heard anything about the results to any of that kind of stuff. And the most oddest.
They never told him. they ran up $10,000 or $20,000 worth of tests and never told him. Unreal. Unreal.
Heard about it for me later on was that they never charged anything. They never charged any of my Medicare or any of that kind of stuff. I got no bills for any of this, not even for the emergency room, which really surprised me. But what I did is I called a friend about the second day I was in there when I realized I was gaining back my senses and everything. And I realized that I had to get out of there. And so I called a friend and she came and picked me up and they wouldn't even let me have the walker or anything. I was trying to buy the walker so at least I could have that to get out of there with. And no, so I finally got a wheelchair and took me out to the car.
Dale, can I ask you a question? Did you take the COVID-19 shot?
Absolutely not. And I've been in the alternative. I've been doing this since the early 80s about talking about the different vaccines and the, you know, the chemtrails and all of that kind of stuff. So I knew better than that. I wouldn't even consider it. Hawaii was very strict because the governor was supposedly caught embezzling funds and this was a focus to take it away. So he used COVID as a focus and all of the extra stuff that they nailed on us, you know, keeping us on island, wouldn't even let us walk on the beach. That's how strict he got and stuff like that.
Were they mean to you because you hadn't had the COVID shot? Did they call you say anything like that?
You know, I don't remember that coming in because it was still pretty fresh, even though had been a lot of, even the governor said that they were going to come door to door with the Army Reserve and make sure you got your vaccine and stuff.
See, that's by the way, the governments don't have, state government, they don't have the ability to enforce any of that. It was all psychological tyranny. Mm-hmm. Perpetrated on the public.
Yep.
They can't do it. And we've heard a number of people talk about that. Hawaii was bad news. Not good.
Dad, so that was never going to happen. Not in this reality, not with me.
But at hospital, did they treat you badly because you did not have the COVID shot?
No, you know, they treated me badly because I was in such state of mind of they would not acknowledge that I didn't have COVID. And they were, like I said, he'd come in and yelled about all of these medications he wanted me on and everything. And when I became allergic, I shut it all down. I'm not doing this. And that's when I called to get out of there. But yes, they were not, there was no food. This was supposed to be an alternative hospital back in the day in Waimea, but it never reached that level, and so there was no food. They refused to acknowledge that I was carnivore, and they kept bringing all this crap and garbage. There's nothing in there that I could actually eat. I finally met a nurse that allowed, she went by herself and got me something to eat. So that aspect of it. Later when I was out, I saw a nurse. She wasn't one of the ones working on me, but she had quit the hospital, and I asked her why. And she said, look, they're killing people in there under the name of COVID, and they supposedly threatened with their pensions and everything. So she just walked and kept her mouth closed, which was sad. That's when I asked her. I said, why don't you stand up to some of this? And they said, well, they threatened her, her pension and everything.
Isn't it odd how in so many cases it all boils down to money?
Mm.
Money. Money. Somebody said money is the root of all evil some time ago, and money.
The love of money, yeah.
Yeah, they're yep. Correct. It's tied.
Dale, do you think hospitals are a dangerous place to be?
You couldn't get me in one if you wanted to. I'd die first before I'd go to that.
No joke. You should do some serious thinking. Now, many of you listening are vax injured. We know that. And you're fighting problems, and you may need to go in the hospital. That's not what we're talking about here. But an elective procedure, forget about it. Don't do it. And if you have to go in, you must be able to advocate for yourself or have someone stand there with you. You have to. Mm. It's an adversarial, a deadly adversarial situation now, as you just heard.
Well, I don't know if they're getting incentivized the way they were at the height of all this.
Don't know. All right, there's a little bit more on this. Let's see. Do we need to go much further?
Finish it up. It's not that long.
Okay, here we go.
But I've always had an opinion about the medical system. One of the things I read on the Child's Health Defense thing was how it's the fourth thing cause of death for doctors and misuse of pharmaceuticals and all of that.
I think it may be number
in
one.
In the 80s when I first started and I had a health food store and all this, we used to talk about that. And it was like 250,000. Now you're talking millions. And that's why I like listening to the Child's Health Defense. It seems to be one of the better sources of information that's true. And I also really appreciate the fact that I'm not, in the 80s, I was doing this all by myself. Everybody thought I was crazy when I was talking about fluoride in the toothpaste back then. Now here it is in court, with lawsuits taken out of the water. But I've been talking about that for, along with a few of my other friends and stuff like that.
Well, Dale, thank you for all the work that you've done on our behalf. What is your warning and advice, both of those two things, to the people watching now?
The first thing was, and it's after the fact, but the first thing I did was I spent all my time trying to talk people out of doing the vaccines and everything. And I kind of vowed that I wouldn't work with these people because our system, I was a couple of acupuncturists and naturopathic doctors. We understood that there was that shedding going on. And so I vowed not to do that. And of course, my friend shows up and he had a vaccine. So I had to work through all of that too, mentally. And you can stay above it energetically and everything. And so I worked with him, and that's what I said. You've got to do several protocols to keep yourself healthy in this position. My friend from Minnesota was so proud that he had he was back in Hawaii going to do the booster, and within a couple of weeks, he couldn't function anymore, hardly at all walk. And then when they took him home, he got worse and worse. The top part of his heart stopped. They put the emergency rushed him in and put a pacemaker in him. And he got worse and worse. And then eventually he had to do open heart surgery. Probably needed that anyhow, but not, but he could never put the two of those together of taking that vaccine and having that near-death experience. It was just a shame. And I've seen that a lot more different places, but he was one of my better friends.
So the other question I have for you is, a lot of the stories that we've been hearing on the bus, or virtually, is people who go into hospital because they're in fear, or people who vaccinate because they're in fear. What advice do you have, seeing as you've been in this game a long time, to people who are constantly watching mainstream news or just perpetually living in fear?
You got to turn it off. That's it. I mean, you can't, I don't care who you are, you can't sit in front of the mainstream news all the time and not be affected by it with all the stuff that's going on. So, yeah, you got to shut it off. I haven't had a TV in 50 years because I understood that back then, that this was a trap. And it was such a mind-boggling incident that you don't want to expose yourself to that, because it does have an effect on you.
Dale, is there anything at all that would make you ever have a vaccination?
No.
Thank you.
No. Especially the more that you guys uncover what's going on, verifies what I thought years and years and years ago. But
okay, very good. Well, if he hadn't owned a health food store in the 80s and hadn't been involved with alternative health information, knowledge, wisdom, protocols, procedures, you know, the whole game, he probably wouldn't have made it out of that hospital. He may not have. I don't know. But this is a perfect case in point. If a doctor ever yells at you in a hospital, you just hold up one finger and stare at him, her. They don't talk to people like that. That's not okay.
No, it's not.
Well, they charge $1,000 a day now, hospital, baseline. I don't know what it is, more than that probably, for a bed. God.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want any part of that system.
Have you ever thought about, I did some research once on laundromats and the idea of using a washer that someone else had just used before, as someone else who wasn't necessarily clean and or healthy. And I'm wondering about hospitals. They do all their linens, and they've got those huge machines going all the time. I guess they put bleach in there and say that'll take care of it. I'd have my doubts. Anyway, all right. Now, good case story to have listened to. There was a story in 8 years ago, in 2016. Big Pharma pushes to get farm animals off antibiotics and on to vaccines. Now, this is 2016. You know there's a lot of talk now about animals being vaxxed with mRNA products. Not true. It's not happening. There's one exception, which we'll talk about in a moment. But right now, and we've done the research on this, there are no, thank God, mRNA vaccines being used on factory farmed animals. Not yet. They want to get there, but they're not there yet. Now, this whole thing about, there are people who believe that dogs and cats are getting mRNA vaccines and stuff. It's kind of wacky out there. So we thought we should spend a couple of minutes and explain this in a little bit more succinct detail for you, so you can understand what you need to worry about and what you don't need to worry about, at least right now. Take it away, Kit.
Yeah, I'm always or frequently seeing people afraid to bring their pets to the vet, and that's understandable in this climate. But they think that the vaccines that are being given to dogs and cats are mRNA-based now, and they're not. I can assure you they're not. The vaccine manufacturers that provide vaccines for dogs and cats, they're the same ones that have been used for the last 20 or 30 years. You have choices of recombinant ones. I mean, one of the big ones is Boehringer Ingelheim, And they make recombinant vaccines for pets. Recombinant means they're giving a virus. In this case, it's a canary pox virus that expresses a protein of interest for whatever disease you're vaccinating against, whether it's rabies or feline leukemia virus or parvovirus. And then you've got Merck and Zoetis, and Elanco is the latest one, which is kind of a confluence of Bayer, Eli Lilly, and Pfizer from about 10 years ago. They acquired Pfizer's animal health portfolio. But none of these manufacturers are using mRNA. And I mean, they've cornered the market with the existing vaccines, and there's no talk whatsoever at this point of moving to mRNA. What they have works. So just to allay those fears, but I know that, you know, people are suspicious, and rightly so. And I brought this up because I came across a post on one of the social media sites where someone was complaining that their cat, or I think it was a cat, got, you know, ill after a trip to the vet. Do you have that one? You got the readers?
Yeah. Let me pull it up here. We should also mention, while I'm getting this ready, dentists and topical anesthetic injections, local anesthetic injections. People have been saying that there's all kinds of stuff in those as well, and that's not necessarily true.
No, you know, those manufacturers are really being slandered right now with this nonsense that's going around about there being mRNA and dental anesthetics and graphene. There's no proof of that. The people that are saying that are showing you microscope images of whatever under a, you know, light microscope or dark field microscope, but that's not proof of graphene or anything else.
Nope. Certainly
and I tell you, if that persists, if I were one of these manufacturers, I would seriously think about a, you know, some sort of a tort to put a stop to it. It's outright slander.
It's awful. Okay.
And I don't know if they're just trying to scare people from getting routine dental care. You know,
I don't know what they're
is
doing
who,
with that.
Who
that
was in the chair before you, and
yes.
Whether the hygienist or dentist who's breathing on you is you know, infectious or contagious.
Spike proteins right into your nose. Think about it.
Yeah, that's the concern.
You're being spewed with spike, and perhaps the 400 billion DNA fragments are being shed as well? Huh?
Yeah, the bacteria that colonized the nasal cavity is likely also transfected with some of this genetic material.
Not good.
You know, we know that from the lab workers that were working on a vaccine for coronavirus, and they were working with plasmids, and they went home and they infected their family members or housemates.
It's
so
crazy.
You know, that's the real concern, that they've already deployed the weapon. You know, there's enough of that virus and enough of the spike protein in circulation that they wouldn't have to co-opt dental anesthetics to.
No, I agree.
To do anything at this point.
Now, what you just said is so important for people to understand. There is a very strong, cogent argument to be made that they have already done it. That the weapon has been deployed, it has been delivered to the target to the tune of 700 million injections in the U.S. 300 million people maybe took them, 280, I don't know. And 14 billion on the planet, they've done it. It's deployed. They did it, okay? So what the hell do they care if the truth comes out now? I think that's one of the reasons you're seeing more and more truths seeping out.
Right.
They don't care. They said, what the hell? They got 3 to 5 years. We're going to sit back, let them have their fun. Doesn't matter to us. That's how they're acting to me. All right. Pet vaccines. I got the first one pulled up here. So,
all right, just let me finish on the livestock.
Yeah.
The only mRNA that is currently in use, licensed for use, and it's through the USDA, not the FDA, is one for swine. Sequivity is the name, and it appears to be just standard mRNA. In other words, they haven't modified it with the pseudouridine or the methyl pseudouridine that causes it to last, well, forever. So it seems to probably break down pretty quickly after it's injected into the pig. And they're also not using a lipid nanoparticle. They're using some sort of mineral oil vitamin E solution. And they say it's well-tolerated in pigs, but then you have to ask yourself, well, what's the goal of raising pigs? It's to get them to adulthood and have them have enough weight so they can, you know, go to slaughter nice and fat. It's not so that they can have a long life. But, you know, when you're working with these CAFOs, these huge animal feedlots, disease is a problem. Anyway, they're trying to get away from overusing the antibiotics because of all the antibiotic-resistant bacteria that's now circulating. And their answer to this problem is to kind of vaccinate for everything.
Here, we'll another side. Yes, another side of the vaccine story regarding antibiotics here is important. About 85%, it might be higher, of all the antibiotics used in America are not made here. They're made in communist China. That is a fact. About 75% of all of those antibiotics are not taken by people. They're fed to animal livestock on farms, pigs, cows, sheep, whatever, to keep them from getting sick. So you're
Also to promote growth.
That too. But your
growth enhancers.
The point is, yes, the point is you are eating meat that has been, desensitized to antibiotic performance because it's being fed to them all the time. So do you want to eat?
The residues are in the meat.
Do you want to eat that meat with residues? Is that that's what you want to do?
Well, so you have to ask yourself, what's currently in the meat? And you might be shocked.
You'll desensitize yourself by eating the meat with antibiotics in it and residues thereof. Okay, so it's... All right, pet vaccines up, number one. Why don't you go ahead?
Oh, one other thing to wrap this other animals up. Somebody asked, what were they giving the zoo animals when they were vaccinating them for COVID?
Yes.
And no, it was not mRNA. It was not mRNA. It was a protein subunit. It was made by Zoetis. Zoetis. It's a big supplier of animal vaccines. And it was similar to the Novavax, where it was just the spike protein, you know, grown in, I don't know what it was grown in, if it was the moth cells or something else, and with some sort of an adjuvant that was deemed to be effective in whatever animal was receiving the vaccine. But it was not a gene transfection mRNA.
Got it. Good. I hope that helps clear that up. We spent a lot of time trying to bring things into real focus, which I hope all of you are listening carefully. Okay, pet vaccines. We got four in the thread. Go with number one.
All right. Someone says, does anyone know if they're putting mRNA in pet vaccines? The reason I'm asking is because our dog's health started declining rapidly after a Bordetella vaccine he received last summer. The following day, he started having bouts of diarrhea and vomiting, which lasted a couple of months. He then started having symptoms of a neurological disease. He passed a couple months ago from a ruptured tumor on his spleen. This morning, a friend posted on Facebook that her young, healthy cat reacted to some vaccines she received last Friday and passed away, unfortunately. Are they messing with pet vaccines now?
Is grass green? They'll do anything they want. Tell me how regulated they are. Not much. My last friend, canine friend, no vaccines. I refused, and he lived fine. So
I think the whole vaccine thing
just telling you that there should be an option.
If you remember years, decades ago now, the distemper that used to kill cats and parvo that would kill puppies, those were nasty diseases. And you could argue that, a vaccine was beneficial. You know, it did curtail the number of infections and subsequent deaths from those viruses. But they've been exploited. I mean, this whole pet health thing has been exploited beyond belief. They have vaccines for every possible microbe. These vets are encouraging yearly vaccines. I mean, I shouldn't say we don't do it in people. We're attempting to do it in people now. But it's absurd. And, it destroys the immune system. There's no question.
Well, that was my position from the beginning. I'm not going to make my friend have to deal with this because immunologically, his overall health will be beaten down with this crap. You can't put that in people or animals without a terrible repercussion.
Well, you've really got to weigh the risk versus the benefits. And clearly, these dogs and cats are just being, they're like pincushions.
I know. Well, if you take your dog to a quote, dog park, I wouldn't. Big problem there. A lot of disease potential to be spread in a dog park.
Well, and I want to say, dogs and cats are susceptible to this SARS-CoV-2 virus.
Yes.
They confirmed it in Korea. It was definitely in dogs. It was getting into their brains. And it's been detected in cats. So, so the next comment.
Shedding also around cats. If you have a dog or a cat, don't let anyone who's been injected pet your animal.
We've had many stories now where, somebody gets vaxxed and then they're interacting with their pet and the pet gets deathly ill in some cases and dies.
Yep.
So here's one response. There are no mRNA vaccines approved for use in dogs or cats yet, although there are some in development. Sadly, though, more pets are having adverse reactions to the existing vaccines, probably due to the fact that both dogs and cats can be infected with the SARS-CoV-2 virus and or adversely affected by the spike protein shed from COVID-vaxxed people, i.e. owners, pet sitters, groomers. As with humans, the virus and the spike protein can impair the immune system of dogs and cats, affecting their ability to respond, quote, normally to a regular traditional vaccine.
Whatever normally is, that's in quotes.
Well,
any of these things put in our bodies or our friends' bodies can have terrible repercussions. And
I'm just drawing attention to the fact that there is a new player here, and that the variable is this circulating virus. I mean, this virus is still out there. The spike is out there. And it is affecting our pets, and they don't have normal immune systems. I mean, they're developing cancer almost as fast as some of these people.
Turbo.
And now you want to load them up with shots.
No. Okay. As Erica was saying, last sentence, as with humans, the virus and the spike protein can impair the immune system of dogs and cats, affecting their ability to respond normally to a regular traditional vaccine. And the thread continues. Someone writes, I think they always have been. I have four cats. Three of them are fully vaxxed, and they all have asthma and other issues. The fourth has not been vaccinated. She's in the same age range as the other three, and she does not have asthma or any other problems. Her only problem is obesity, and you would think that she would have at least something wrong with her because of that, but nope, she's fine. So, a lot like human vaccines, I think they can cause harm, mRNA or not. And a follow-on to that, yes. I wouldn't be surprised at all, said someone in response to that, and not just new mRNA vaccines, but all vaccines. It's total moneymaker time for vets and big pharma. My dog is four and so far has had four vaccines. His trainer is a woman who lives with four dogs, and she has trained dogs for 25 years, grew up around them, and is obsessed with them. A couple of years ago, we discovered that he was allergic to pretty much everything. and he has skin issues. Most dogs I know now have lots of allergies and other issues. The trainer told me, quote, "Remember when we were kids and dogs used to roam around neighborhoods eating trash and lived until almost 20 years of age? All they got in their entire lifetime was one rabies vaccine."
Yeah, I remember that.
Yes, sure. Sure. Dogs didn't live to be 10 or 12. They pushed 16, 18 often.
Yep.
Next comment. My friend said the vet claims that her cat had an autoimmune disease, which is why her cat died after vaccination. I asked my friend if her cat had been diagnosed with an autoimmune disorder prior to the vax, and she said no, and that her cat has always been healthy and active. How is a vet going to blame an undiagnosed autoimmune disease for a deadly vaccine reaction? That makes no sense to me. And someone adds to that, this is the scripted response the vets use to shift blame away from the obvious culprit, the vaccine, and onto the victim. It's all too common.
Yeah, it is. Okay, someone says, doesn't matter if they're mRNA or traditional. They're all bad. It only takes one bad shot to destroy your beloved cat or dog.
Oh,
same
hold
for
on,
your child.
Hold on. Amen to that. I just want to stop right there. Amen to that. That's why I didn't do it. I don't want any of that stuff. Good nutrition, healthy lifestyle, affection, a stable home, and not around other dogs or cats is your best course of action to keep your friend healthy. And mm-hmm. certainly don't let them around people who have been vaxxed and boosted, for God's sakes. All right, so it takes only one bad shot to destroy your beloved dog or cat. Go ahead, now here's the kicker.
And same for your child, spouse, parent, sibling, or yourself.
Yep.
Yeah. And, well, here's a dissenting opinion. To responding to they are all bad, this person says, what makes you say that? And it only takes one bad shot to destroy your beloved dog or cat. This person says, I generally try to be fair and polite, but you are so wrong on this that it gets on my nerves. Yesterday I lost my cat to feline leukemia virus, a virus that destroys their bone marrow and causes anemia and leukemia. A vaccine for feline leukemia virus exists, and everyone with an outdoor cat should get it. My baby literally died of a preventable disease because he couldn't be vaccinated since his mother passed the virus to him in utero. Vaccinate your pets, people. They are fragile little creatures that count on us to survive, and we shouldn't let disinformation put their lives in danger. Well, people on this thread did not take kindly to that.
No. I want to say one thing. Letting a cat... I know cats can do well outside, but you let your cat... If it's an indoor-outdoor cat, you have to be prepared, all right? Because you are putting your animal at risk. Go ahead.
No, definitely. Definitely. You know, and the feline leukemia virus, that's a funny one, because most cats, you know, when they're adults, they have a fair amount of resistance to that virus. It's actually difficult to infect a cat with feline leukemia virus.
They could be carriers, kittens, right? But it doesn't manifest much beyond that.
It's a funny one because there's an endogenous version of the feline leukemia virus. In other words, it's already in the cat's
in
DNA.
Yeah.
And it can be activated under certain circumstances, and then when it encounters the wild type, the exogenous one, it can recombine and create a third version of itself. Hmm. But they believe now that the cat, this endogenous retrovirus that's a part of its genome, that's its protection against the wild type, the one that they would encounter. Yeah. And the vaccine for that, to my knowledge, is only about 60% effective. And, you know, you have to keep redoing it mm-hmm. to maintain any level of protection mm-hmm. or artificial protection. But so, you know, this person's clearly a believer, and, you know, it tends to be like that. Until you experience firsthand the dark side of a vaccine, you're going to be a believer, sadly.
All true. All true.
Next person says, I work in vet med, and I wouldn't recommend getting any vaccines that aren't necessary for your pet, especially after a certain age or old age. A lot of counties require rabies and annual certificate renewals for no reason other than getting your money. Screw them. They'll threaten to fine you, but screw them. They won't do anything. Rabies vax lasts a lot longer in their system than they say it does. And this person says, yeah, I'm never vaccinating my pets again. Thanks for the confirmation that I'm making the right choice.
Yeah. All right, here's two more. Do you not find it weird that they were finding COVID-19 in so many different animals? That's not how nature works. Viruses do not typically jump between species like COVID did, at least not that quickly. Someone says, I agree. Many aspects of this plandemic were exaggerated, misrepresented, and falsified. But it's important to remember that this particular virus originated in a laboratory and was so manipulated to enable it to infect multiple cell types and hosts, including other mammals and bacteria, which you heard Erica mention earlier. The spike protein itself, whether attached to the virus or shed in exosomes of vax people, is highly toxic to the immune system. Bear in mind, many vets and their staff are believers in vaccines and took the COVID-19 gene transfection shots, making themselves toxic, albeit unknowingly, to the very animals they are handling every day in the clinic. The fact that most dogs and cats are already stressed when visiting a vet does not help their immune systems either. Bottom line is, pets are at risk of serious toxic exposure simply by visiting a COVID-infected or injected veterinarian clinic or practice. That's a fact.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
Yep. You know, and it's the staff, it's the animals that they encounter in the waiting room, people in the waiting room. I just remember the last time I was at the vet, it was 2 years ago now, and it had a smell. It had a funny, unfresh smell.
You told me that when you got back. It was the smell, and somebody was exuding it there.
It smelled sort of like a disinfectant, but not like any disinfectant I'd smelled.
Right.
And then maybe garbage on top of it, some kind of rotting, but it was all closed up. It was summertime, so it was closed, you know, no ventilation, and it was moderately crowded in the waiting room, and smelled unfresh.
Yeah.
You know, and the animals do. They really do stress when you bring them to these places
because about it. Their sense of smell is how many times better than ours, for example?
Yeah.
And they go in there and they're overwhelmed with smells of pharmacology, of sterilizers, of cleansing, all kinds of things. And it must frighten the hell out of them just on the smell basis.
Yeah. And you know, being around strangers in a strange location, they're out of their element.
Right. All right, we have to close up shop for this visit. Thank you. Really good information.
My pleasure.
Again, we hope our listeners take this seriously and consider it all. It's up to you. It's your choice. All right.
Okay, good. All right, have a good weekend, everyone.
We'll be right back with another hour for you. Hang on, and we shall continue.